I think that the story that we're going to read together is so well known to all of us. Different translations of the Bible. There's no secret in here. I think most of us know the story from beginning to end. I know that as a kid I grew up with the story of the prodigal son. So I thought it would be very appropriate to make the theme of this evening arriving home. We read from the Message translation, Luke 15:11-22. And then he said, "There was once a man who had two sons, and the younger said to his father, 'Father, I want right now what's coming to me.' So the father divided the property between them. It wasn't long before the younger son packed his bags and left for a distant country. And there, undisciplined and dissipated, he wasted everything he had. And after he had gone through all his money, there was a bad famine all through that country, and he began to hurt. He signed on with a citizen there who assigned him to his fields to slop the pigs. He was so hungry, he would have eaten the corn cobs in the pig slop, but no one would give him any. And that brought him to his senses. He said, 'All those farm hands working for my father sit down to 3 meals a day, and here I am, starving to death. I'm going back to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against God, I've sinned before you, I don't deserve to be called your son. Take me on as a hired hand.' He got right up and went home to his father. And when he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and his heart pounding, he ran out, embraced him, and kissed him. And the son started his speech, 'Father, I've sinned against God. I've sinned before you. I don't deserve to be called your son ever again.' But the father wasn't listening. He was calling to the servants, 'Quick, bring a clean set of clothes and dress him. Put the family ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And then get a grain-fed heifer and roast it. We're going to feast. We're going to have a wonderful time. My son is here, given up for dead and now alive, given up for lost and now found.' And they began to have a wonderful time." Here ends our scripture reading for this evening. Brothers and sisters, a woman and her grandmother, and this grandmother was a very forgiving and religious soul, were sitting on their porch, and they were talking about so many things. Amongst others, they were discussing a real black sheep member of the family. "Solomon is just no good, Grandma," the young woman said. "He's completely untrustworthy and he's very lazy." "Yes, he's bad," the grandmother said, and she rocked back and forth in a rocker. "But Jesus loves him." "I'm not so sure of that," the younger woman persisted. "Oh yes," assured the elderly woman. "Jesus loves him, my child." So she rocked and thought for a few more minutes, and then she added, "Well, of course, Jesus doesn't know him like we do." The Hebrew Testament tells us how King David fell into sin and how he turned away from God. However, there came a day when his sin caught up with him and he could no longer live a lie. So he turned to God in sack and ash, seeking forgiveness. And then David sensed God's presence and forgiveness. And the Bible says he became complete again. He was healed from the inside out. Psalm 103, one can hear the joy and the renewal that King David experienced in his own words. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." When it comes to admitting our human need and to express our desire for forgiveness, there are many people that would rather not touch that sensitive subject at all. And others again are more willing to ask for and to accept God's forgiveness. But then many of them still have a problem. They find it almost impossible when it is their turn to extend forgiveness to others. Sometimes folks are like the little girl who had a fight with a friend. Her mother heard about the quarrel and tried to show her child that she was wrong. So she suggested praying and asking God's help. And accordingly, when the little one kneeled down to pray, she humbly asked, "Oh God, please forgive me for getting angry and quarreling with Susie." So far, so good. And then the child went on, "And dear God, please make sure Susie come to me and ask my forgiveness. Please, God, give her no rest until she is sorry and comes and tell me so." That sound familiar? Children language, but an adult theme. Forgive us our trespasses. Jesus taught us to pray. Forgive us our trespasses. How? As we forgive those who trespass against us. So, one could say that Jesus taught that we receive forgiveness only if we forgive those who sin against us. Those who turn to God and admit their sin also receives the assurance of forgiveness. Some time ago, I was part of a small ministerial team investigating the sad self-destruction of a congregation elsewhere in Florida. For days, we listened to all parties involved, how it all began, what happened, and it went on and on. And we spoke with more than 30 of those members of that specific church. And boy, they had much to talk about. They told us how bad and how wrong the other parties were. And I remember with one of my colleagues at the end of such a day, we were talking about that. And I said to him, "Have you noticed that there was not a single guilty one speaking to us today? Not a single confession, not even one. No one saying, 'I was part of the problem. I did wrong. I need forgiveness.'" How sad. It didn't end all that well. Finally, that church had to close down. Have you noticed that one cannot point a finger to anyone without pointing at least three fingers at ourselves? And I'm sure that there are many of us here that can tell about the day when we first responded to God's call through Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying that you have to have a specific conversion and it has to go with bells and whistles. No, I'm not saying that. Many people can point to a day when they first became aware of Jesus' forgiveness and opened their hearts before God. Many others, I was one of them, can remember the moment when the challenge was given in a loving voice. And there in Pretoria, South Africa, in nature, for the first time, I sensed that I had to do something. And as a 15-year-old, I remember so well my prayer. Lord Jesus, I give you my heart. Give you my life. And many of us have moments like that, and often our minds still wander back to those days. How much have changed since then? Now just listen to the prophet Isaiah's pleading and comforting call. He says, come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. Thou, your sins are like scarlet, they shall be like snow. Thou, they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The internationally known German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote as follows. And by the way, Dietrich Bonhoeffer was murdered by the Nazis. A tragic end to a wonderful life of a highly intelligent, God-fearing person. And he wrote, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whenever Jesus calls us, he entreats us to come and to die. Whenever Jesus calls us, he entreats us to come and die. And then he explains, through Christ, we gain strength and die to the fears that keep us from loving. We gain courage to die to the selfishness that keeps us from sharing our gifts. We learn to die to seeking our own success and salvation, while disregarding for the good of all God's children. The good news is that God has promised that if we die with Christ, we will also rise with Christ as new creations to be God's children, living, loving, worshipping together, truly, sincerely caring about one another, and discovering anew what it means to be fully human. Forgive me if this gets a little bit personal, but please allow me a personal question. You don't have to answer out loud. Maybe you could just answer the question for yourself. How and when did you first become aware of God's presence in your life? Oh, we need to talk more about God. Even during these difficult times, these difficult days that we're living in, even while there is turmoil all around us, we need to make time in our private, in our personal lives, to listen more intensely for the presence, for the call, so well articulated in Scripture. Because the invitation of Scripture has no expiration date. The same invitation still stands. And it says, Matthew 11, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Then Jesus said, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. And Jesus promises, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. A beautiful, beautiful text in Scripture. In my own life, I carry a lasting, personal, joyous memory on the time when I first left my parental home to work far away from home. It was about for an 18-year old. It was 400 miles away from home. And I remember how I missed home, but I did not call home as regularly as Mother had hoped for. So when I did call, the moment when she recognized my voice, I still hear it, her first exclamation was, "Freddy!" Loud and clear. And then you could sense the tear in her voice. She would first shout my name in surprise, and then she added, "My child." Oh, I'll never forget that. I believe if one or more of us this very evening would call home, "Father God, here I am, I'm coming home," there will be unspeakable joy. It is as if I can hear God's voice. "My child, my child, welcome home." Long ago I first heard and understood the invitation and responded to the call. But that was not enough. The years have gone by. Decades have gone by, and many times since then I recognized in one or other way the same timeless, loving invitation of my Savior. "Come to me and you will find rest for your soul." No, there's no perfect Christian. I haven't met one yet. There are times when you feel so closely related to God, so close to God. And it often happened in my life that I have to ask myself, where am I heading? What's happening to me? And I know the experience of crawling back to God, pleading for forgiveness. Pleading to be restored in the presence of God. From time to time, when life's burdens get overwhelming and too heavy to bear, we still return quietly and we seek wholeness and forgiveness. We sang it in a different language, but even now, even today, I still hear the call, "Saggies en teer is die roepstem van Jesus," translated, "Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling." Right now, even now, as we prepare to receive the ashes as a token of our need and desire for God's forgiveness, this is a tender moment. For the first time in our brand new church, to respond to the call. "Are you weak and heavy laden? Come to me. Come home. All who are weary, come home." Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. "O sinner, come home." Amen.